Today we have in the studio Pāora Joseph and Pāora Toitorangi Uia from Piritahi Marae. Kia ora kōrua.
Tēnā koe, Greg.
Yeah, good. Good, just... Kia ora, yeah. Just come a little bit closer to your mic, sorry. I was just trying to get the technicals right. Kia ora to the whānau of Waiheke and kia ora to both of you. SKP, let's go there. The Marae has made pretty strong statements about this project, very much. There's been a hikoi from Blackpool to KP. The Marae and the whānau at the Marae were very much involved in the Safe Kennedy Point picnic, which was had the acronym of SKP, which was supposed to be sort of Sunkissed Picnic, but we saw through that. That was all political. And it was all about resisting the application to build a huge marina on Waiheke. And for your information, after this, I'm going to play the John Campbell story about it, because, and you might like to stay and listen to that, because I find the mainstream media treats us like shit, to be honest. Oh, sorry for my French this morning. But and again, it's Waiheke divided over marina, but I personally don't see the news like that. So let's talk about the campaign to stop the marina. How do you think it's going?
Well, can I just say it's... Pāora Toitorangi Uia speaking. Kia ora te motu. Here's a short one.
It's the short part.
Well, te mea tuatai ki te mihi ana hau ki te whānau or Judy Coutts.
Kia ora. Yeah, I talked about Judy this morning.
Yeah. So, oh, that's good. So, just want to thinking about them and thinking about all the, you know, because Judy was an advocate against the... against marina proposal of Matiatia. So it's always tragic when we lose someone in the community, but also someone who has enough energy and time and effort to fight something like the marina proposal that we're doing at the moment as well. So, you know,
it takes huge energy, huge resources, and huge people. And Judy Coutts was a huge person on Waiheke. I saw, as I said earlier, I saw her walking through the village just through Surfdale just a week ago. You know, she was still being Judy, walking the dogs right through to the very end.
Yeah. So, but with regards to Skip, I mean, the Sunkissed Festival was great.
Wasn't that? I mean, I know it's about the marina, but so many people said to me, "It's like the old days."
Yeah, and big ups to the gentleman and his family who offered up their land for that to occur.
Yeah,
I'm a humble man. I mean, I got introduced to him through this young bloke who said, "Pāora, do you want a beer?" And I said, "Oh, I'm about to buy one." He goes, "Well, I have this one. This guy here just gave it to me," and I grabbed the beer and I said, "Excuse me, are you the owner of the place?" Yeah. And he ummed and erred and
didn't want to say yes.
No, but the young guy was a son-in-law. He goes, "Yes, this is the man." Yeah. So, you know, generosity. And when you talk about the character of the island, that's the character of the island. And with regards to the marina, it's not the character of the island.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there's a lot of wealth on the island, and yes, a lot of that wealth would like to have a marina of sorts, somewhere to park the yacht. And
I don't really know that there's that many of the wealthier parts of the island who really want super yachts on the island. I mean, I was just saying to somebody this week how one of the wonderful things about Waiheke is that rich and poor live together.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all queue at the same supermarket, you know, whereas if you go over to Auckland, you know, in Remuera, there's one level of socioeconomic kind of Kiwis, and then you go down the road, there's another. But here we have everybody. And I'm tired of the Waiheke divided story, as I said.
It's crap.
The story isn't that we're divided. The story is that there are enough of us who are banding together to try and stop it. That's the story. Not that it's divided the island, which makes us the news, not the marina.
Absolutely.
I find, me in journalism, I'm constantly critiquing it, sorry. Pāora, you haven't said anything?
It's reflecting. Bodhicitta.
What my aunties would say, eh?
Yeah. Listen and let Pāora put his foot in it. just a little bit closer, bro.
Yeah, so the Marae position, the Marae position just with Matiatia hasn't changed, you know. Our position is the health and welfare of the community, and that includes the whenua, the land, the moana, everything that the community rests upon, works from, stands from.
Yeah.
And so whilst this wealth is on the island, you know, I just can't see that this edifice of in-your-face wealth is going to cater at all for the island. It puts us more in service. We're already under the hammer as an island and community with the volumes of tourism coming through. And, you know, I love being a host in my house.
Yeah, me and, too. I love picking up people from the wharf and driving around the island.
But the thing,
I don't mind visitors.
No, you know, and I've been one of those visitors, of course, and we all have in other places.
Yeah.
But it's not so much when is it enough. It's about not only sustainability. It's about the cost to the community.
Yeah. And the cost to the community. If we want to stop that cost, we have to come up with 200 grand, which I think we've pretty much done.
Yes.
And when I say we, I mean the island.
Yes.
SKP went to court this week. The trial has, the hearing in the Environment Court has begun, as I understand it.
Well, we had a meeting with the lawyers and solicitor on Tuesday, the Marae did.
Yeah.
And then they had...
So the Marae has its own representation within this?
Yes, the Marae has nominated myself, Whaia Huana, and my kara as marae representation, because we both Whaia Hu and I are on the marae trust and committee members and my kara, and then we, of course, Piritahi being Piritahi, we have whānau members who are valued members who are also fit within that, and obviously Catherine Arport is one of those, you know, because of her mum and because of the history of the family here.
She's
and the incredible. Whakapapa.
She's amazing. Catherine, sorry to embarrass you, but honestly, kia ora.
Yeah, and, you know, and there's Jacqueline Carter is another person, and, and so... Yeah, it'll be interesting because our position is we're not here to trample over the mana of Ngāti Pau, because the Ngāti Pau top table have sanctioned it.
Yeah.
And so the marae position, actually, because we are the people on the ground, we are the people in service, we are the ringaropa, we are the ones with calloused hands, you know.
Ringaropa.
Oh, calloused hands, we are the ones, but not only hands, you know, our knees, our feet are calloused, because we are walking the talk on this island for 40-odd years, you know. And so our position is from the economic health and welfare of the island and the people within the island,
so
which is different from the top table of Ngāti Pau.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, yeah, mana whenua, tangata whenua, they're sensitive issues around who represents who.
But
there's no doubt about Ngāti Pau's place on the island historically, but
absolutely.
Neither and contemporarily, but neither is there any question about the role of Piritahi Marae to represent all of us, Pākehā, Māori, and non-Māori, other non-Māori, who have lives invested in the island in positive ways. And I look to the Marae to represent me. To a degree, no pressure, bro. but you know, I do, and I think Piritahi. I, you know, my pepeha this week at a retreat I was on was, you know, ko Piritahi te marae, and although I'm not down there enough, it's no doubt about it that I feel that I'm part of that marae.
Yeah, and look, and that's the intent and the wish of the marae, is that everyone upon the island feels that about it. We have not only on the island, but also we have Takapuna. Intermediate who come over, they claim Piritahi as theirs
because of
a relationship.
We do have a strong relationship with Takapuna High.
Well, yes, and that's because of the relationship with Auntie Joy and going over there and working with students over there. So, you know, it's someone asked the question. Jan, one of the speakers on Waitangi Day, he asked the question. Oh, you know, in Te Reo, which is impressive.
Good on you, Jan. Jan. From Snapper.
Not Jan from Snapper Graphics. No.
Sorry, Jan.
So wrong Jan. Anyway, so he, well, people call him Jan, but it's Jan. So, you know, he, his question that he posited was, okay, the Marae and Māori, they have their sacred mountains and they have their sacred land. What about us? We, what, in a sense, where do we as a nation fit within that, within the treaty? And I said,
it's a good question for Waitangi Day, isn't it?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
And one of my responses was, well, one way to get on board with that is to marry someone brown. Great brown kids. But that aside, you know, you adopt it within the heart. You know, everyone has can relate to a sacred landscape.
Right.
You know, and... You know, the heritage.
Yeah. I'm a bit rootless myself, so I've had to put my roots down on Waiheke. And I look at Rangihaua every day and feel quite like I belong to it. And I know the history is you know, very special at Rangihaua. If you're not aware of it, the Rangihaua is the site of one of the great battles on Waiheke, where a lot of Māori died.
Mm.
And there was blood spilt on the side of that hill. And it's I think of it every time I go by, you know. It's incredible. So, yeah, and te Rangihaua, te maunga.
I said to my daughter, we had the assembly at Waiheke Primary School to start the year off the other week. So I translated.
Just a sec. For some reason, your mic's not working. Sorry. Try that one.
Is it working yet?
No. No. God blimey,
Chris. Come and share my mic, bro.
Swing the mic around. Sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that. That one works beautifully.
It's got to lower this a bit.
Yeah, they give each other.
He's always been known as Puto.
It's working good.
And
Puto
and Taitai.
Taitai.
Yeah.
Nice. Lofty. Well, he is kind of lofty, isn't he?
Yeah. On the run to the litter.
I don't know why I don't believe that. I met your brother, bro.
So, yeah, I was saying that with the porphyry I was doing at Waiheke Primary just to begin the year off. And so I was trying to translate to the children there, I guess in their language, about what's meant in terms of relating to a mountain or relating to your moana. So, for example, tikapa, te moana nui or hauraki or moiho. And the beauty about that is that, so I say, it was used to tell dragon stories to my little girl, and then one day she said to me, Papa, are dragons real? And I just said, well, do you want them to be? And so there's a lot of truth in that, in the imaginary world. But one of the teachings that I like to kind of put in front of my nose, if you like, is that you can't argue with reality. So reality is something that we create, and putting the treaty aside, putting aside mana whenua, tangata whenua, all of that doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter. Mm. It's just politics. What really matters is what's in front of your nose on a daily basis. So, for example, Greg, you know, if you go running past Rangihaua in the morning and decide to sit down and have a kōrero to the mountain, then the mountain should speak back to you. And it's got absolutely nothing to do with being Pākehā Māori, to do with the window in which you choose to look through in terms of your own mind and how you relate to the world and how the world relates back to you. So if you... For example, all those kaitiaki that have always been a part of the whenua and a part of our history in terms of who we are. For example, Potini, who, you know, a very well known kaitiaki who resides near Moiho. Now, if you acknowledge those kaitiaki wherever you are, and you ask questions about them, then you bring them back to life and they become a part of your life. And, you know, that's the beauty, really, about te ao Māori and te ao Wairua. So sometimes I think the whole conversation really around tangata whenua or mana whenua or Māori or Pākehā, I mean, they're just words. And actually, you know, when we look at community or the hāpuri, it's really those things which are important to us. Mm. It's really like, just having a conversation with your neighbour, with somebody about how you how you relate to reality. And, you know, you, for example, Greg, and there's many other Pākehā out there who are in the same boat, Paul to mention, Jan. It's the same thing. I mean, I think we're growing as a country now. I think as Aotearoa, we're growing
At last.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, we're growing.
Although we're also in a world where you know, maybe there's a famous poem about the center cannot hold. And when you hear when you hear of Trump, you know, and all the stuff that's going on, you wonder if I just hope and pray that Aotearoa doesn't become divided in the same way, because I agree. I think Piritahi is such a wonderful emblem for unity. Waiheke is an emblem for unity itself, in my view, not even though the mainstream media over there sees us as divided and this island of scrappers. You know, it's a very shallow look at who we are, because I actually feel the aroha for the island is shared across mana whenua, mana whenua and tangata whenua and Ngāti Pākehā and Ngāti South America. You know, Radio Rebel Day, the radio of the revolution, weren't they fantastic, you know?
Brilliant.
And they did talk at the SKP picnic about being part of the island and how welcome they felt. And you know, so I think we have a special ability here to unify people.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. While you've got the microphone, the one that's working, tell us about this workshop that's coming up at, is it at the Hauora or...?
Yeah, it's at the Hauora, down at the Marae, so it's in the
Hauora at Piritahi Marae in Blackpool, and it's on Monday?
It's on Monday, so it's from, I believe, 12:30 for 3 hours till 3:30, so it's open to the Hapori, open to anybody in the community, but it's really, you know, the topic of the workshop is understanding, you know, Māori paradigms of health and mental health and well-being, really, Greg. So, and it's about a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, you know, like I guess one of my passions really is just the same with myself, as people being able to connect more strongly with who they are. And that's a beautiful thing. Like you said, with the Argentinians, that's an example. I mean, when people discover something about who they are and how they relate to the place where they're at, then I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So that the workshop's about that. I mean, when we talk about health and well-being in terms of Māori terms, we're not just talking about ourselves as in terms of an individual unit. Now, I think the culture, we talked about dividing people today. I think it's really the culture of pūtetanga, which my friend coined the other day. It was a good word, actually, pūtetanga. So the focus is, and the emphasis is, on money these days, and that's what it's a, you know, it's a totally immaterialistic existence, which that's what divides us, because we're over focused on our material wealth and our own individualized material wealth rather than our spiritual wealth. And our spiritual wealth is God-given. I mean, it's inherent. It's inside us. But one of the things that is helpful sometimes, if we have some sort of facilitation or even if that's individual facilitation or group facilitation, how to tap into that. And that's what one of my passions is. And we have a beautiful, beautifully carved wharenui that can help people do that these days too. You know, there's nothing. So
didn't it become an amazing? Wasn't that an amazing step?
Yeah,
the whakaero, wasn't that just? Well, I mean, it was coming. Yeah. It's not like it came out of the blue. It took a long time to get there. It wasn't just, oh, I know. You know, so it was always coming, but it felt to me like a sort of a maturing of the whole place.
Yeah, so that's the outer manifestation. You know, and that you're right, that's beautiful, so people can see that. But you see, what we tend to forget is there's the inner manifestation. So when we walk into a place like that now, it's imbued with Māori. What we'd say in the Māori world, it's imbued with Māori, and everything has a Māori, you know. So that space has a Māori, but the whenua has a Māori. So we're talking about KP. KP is a part of our health and well-being.
It is, isn't it? I feel that quite strongly.
And the moana is a part of our health and well-being. So, it depends how you look at things. And, you know, I think our old people knew that, and they walked and talked that whole life, and, you know, to the extent that they were aware, you know, they were aware when they were going to die.
Right.
You know, just those sort of things. And it's not like death just caught you by surprise, but actually you knew when you were going to die. Why? Because you were in touch with everything. you know, elementally. And I think, you know, modern society, we kind of neglect that. And the beauty about our Indigenous society, and that's what's brought into the KP argument, you know, the beauty about going back to the marae is that it reminds your inner self about those things, you know, just getting tapped on the shoulder,
I felt that the contributions and presence of the marae at the SKP picnic made it a completely different thing. It just added that connection that you're talking about, maybe, and there were a lot of people there who weren't just talking politics and money and greed. They were actually talking about more elemental stuff, like you use the word elemental, and it's a great use of the word. So we do, of course, it does get played out in the Pākehā court. Not a Pākehā court, that's wrong, in a New Zealand court. But you know, can we bring those values into an argument in court?
Well, we did it with Matietia.
All right.
So I don't see why not, because, you know, one of the things was that to have a marina down there, apart from Wahitapu, and the koiwi, the bones that lie on the seabed and on the foreshore.
At KP, there's koiwi.
Well, no, I'm talking about Matietia.
Oh, Matietia, sorry.
So the thing with that is, it was noted that to have a marina there changes the whole character of the bay.
Yeah.
And when you talk about character and culture, they're one of the two, the same thing, right? So, you know, if you look at the amount of the volume, the 7.23 hectares that they're going to take up, the sound or the clinking and the clanking, anything that goes wrong there has an impact on the whole bay, and we who live here are the ones who suffer. Not the yachts that are berthed there.
No,
because the owners won't be here. No, most of them will be overseas.
There might be one or two, but let's face it, the vast majority are not going to be Waiheke Islanders.
No, I don't think so. But the other thing with that, of course, is there's all the contamination that these boats bring in. I mean, I was reading with my evidence that you know, you have I think it's what's it called, the Spanish mussel. Anyway, there's invading things that come over on the hulls. So there's from the Bay of Islands, there are boats coming down into Auckland that have to have anti-foul and be clean before they come in to berth at Auckland. Those same boats on their way through to Auckland will stop here. They will.
Yeah.
And who actually manages that? I mean, because, you know, the contagions of things like the Spanish mussel and other things, that they will fill that area, contaminate that area, will spread around the island, and they will knock out any mussels or oysters or other biota that lives there naturally.
Yeah.
You know,
and our marine life is already under huge pressure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ridiculous pressure, really, for an island of 9,000 people. Really? It's just dreadful, really. Well, I mean, let's not get into marine reserves today, but man, that's another topic for another day. I can't believe the opposition to marine reserves. Sorry, whānau out there who don't want a marine reserve, but I'm sorry, I just can't get that.
Well, I might be one of those, but I don't mind. Look,
there's a fight now.
No. Just quickly. I think the idea of rāhui and the marine reserve is great. However, the marae's main thing is that some of the whānau fish off rocks just outside their houses, so they take 5 minutes. For them to actually put more petrol in the car to go down to the bottom
and
end.
And also, it's not just a matter of petrol, is it? It's a matter of the connection to the whānau. The moana is your connection at
my tai tai. And the impingement on my tai tai, which was harvesting rights.
Yep. So I like all the arguments. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. So I agree.
Maybe it's the wrong place. Maybe it's. But we have to do something about
absolutely.
The marine environment.
Yes, I agree.
Don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry.
I mean, it's interesting with this Cody Dybeck back. You know, as an example. You know, recently. You know, in the whole dialogue really that's happening, discussion around that. And interestingly enough, it's only now that the government have just stepped in. I mean, already the tangata whenua.
There was a rāhui out in the Waitakere for ages.
It was a rāhui.
And it wasn't working because Pākehā don't understand the impact of the rāhui.
Exactly, but what it is, it's once again, it's that kind of, you know, colonization, the undertones of colonization working, when Māori say, actually, we believe we need to do this. Mm. This is what's happening. The environment is out of balance. But it wasn't approached on a united front. It's only now that there's catch up, but there's a lot of damage that's been done in the
council. The council was very reluctant, as I read it, to close the tracks. Absolutely. Because that would, I don't know why they were reluctant, but the council seemed very reluctant. And then all of a sudden, nobody was even washing their shoes, let alone respecting the rahui.
Yeah.
So they, in the end, they had to bring the big stick down and close it. But if they had acted more proactively a year ago, I personally feel that, you know, and I was up in Long Bay this week, and even there, you know, just a 10-minute walk through the bush, and there's a cleaning station, and
So
it doesn't work very well on your jandals; it makes them really slippery. but then I shouldn't have been in jandals.
Yeah, so I mean, rahui is definitely a time and place for rahui, and I think a lot of the times that we need, just like our conversation before, we need to value what we have, the knowledge which is coming forth from the indigenous world. You know, rather than saying, you know, marine reserve's good too, but, you know, might say, okay, well, what does a rahui mean?
Mm.
How, because there's a time period on a rahui, so it actually, which makes a lot of sense, it gives, you know, time for replenishment. But, you know, so, you know, that's the point I guess I'm trying to make, is that we don't always have to draw on those policies and procedures.
Wouldn't it be nice if, as a community, we could agree, you know, very much, perhaps not everybody, but the vast majority of us agree of the value of a rahui, and then maybe we don't need council to come down and start making rules for our lives again.
Well, and the other thing is, Greg, it's to actually have that conversation within the schools. So that our kids, they see someone picking undersized mussels, and there's always people who come over to the island picking undersized mussels and going, hey, listen, leave it alone. Those are still growing. They're not ready to be harvested yet. You pick those, you take all the all the spats from that rock, they're gone.
What about the idea that with the best of intentions, we're taking the large snapper who breed, and in fact it's the so-called undersized snapper that Māori would have eaten. Now, I just heard this sort of from a professor this week, and I just wondered what you guys thought about that.
I haven't taken any large snapper. I'm a hopeless fisherman.
Yeah, me too. But the point is that the law of the land is 30 centimetres and above is fine, but maybe actually you get up to 80 centimetres and you're taking granddaddy snappers who are the breeders. Yeah. I don't know. It was just a thought.
Look, most of the fishermen I know, they throw back those granddaddies. And these are serious fishermen who do
and
catch them.
And they understand
them.
That, eh?
Of course. Yeah, breeding stock,
Yeah.
But the trawlers don't understand that.
No, the trawlers don't understand that. How can we get the trawlers out of the Gulf? Powder said the trawlers don't understand that.
Bring back the Rainbow Warrior. Well, you know, there's a lot to said.
Susie, are you listening?
Yeah, she will be.
Well, you know, once again, you know, I think if we worked as a community, if we worked as one and drawed on those indigenous values that can still be applicable and applied to today, then, you know, there's no reason why we can't have our own, for example, kaitiaki policemen.
Yeah.
For example,
you
know, trawling and saying no.
I do look at these sort of first security guards on our wharves thinking, couldn't we have a kind of local guard that does more, when I say guard, you said guard, but you mean a sort of kaitiaki warden.
Absolutely.
Would be a better word, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, as communities, we do underestimate the power that we have. I mean, there's nothing stopping us doing a whole lot of things.
Yeah, well,
you know, but the same thing, like having our own mayor. I mean, I've always thought the short one over here would make a good mayor for Waiheke, but we still don't have a mayor.
just to be clear, the Māori word mea means thing.
Yeah, ai, kia ora. Ke mea nui, yeah. Ke mea notsu nui. All right. Hey, look, I could talk all day, but I think I better play some music because that's part of my job as well. Kia ora, both of you. Thank you so much for coming in.